Blog Talk Radio.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey.
Theme song for the man, the woman who makes up their minds to walk uprightly. It is to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to do it His way by trusting His word, trusting His commandments, trusting His wisdom and His knowledge, and not just trusting, but then doing, obeying. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope you're doing well. As for me, as always, looking forward to the daily broadcast, looking forward to break bread with you each and every day. Our scripture text for today is Psalm 84, verse 11. We've been talking about this week, our whole entire theme has been predicated upon the fact that God gives divine benefits to those who walk uprightly. God blesses, gives benefits to those who walk uprightly. Our text is Psalm 84:11, which reads, For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Is that you? Are you walking uprightly? Then guess what? If you are, you can bank on there being a constant flow of blessings from God to you. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, again, we draw near with great expectation. Expectation that your word never fails. It is always true. It is always on time. It always does, exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. Your word is powerful, transformative, saving, illuminating, inspiring. Inspire us tonight, O God. Inspire us as we make our way, as we begin our pilgrimage in 2023. We lean on you, Lord. We look forward to you, moments with you, seasons with you, hours with you, mornings with you, noontime and evenings with you. We're constantly looking for you, Lord. We can't get enough of you, Lord. So bless us. We are your sheep. We are your people. We are your flock, purchased with the blood of your dear Son and guided by the vicar of the church, the Holy Spirit. Bless us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. Amen and amen. Look at that little picture there on page number 3 of your outline. We're on page 3 of your outline. And today we're looking at that phrase, from them that walk uprightly. Notice that walk uprightly is in green. It's highlighted with color. Picture, there is a man, and he's on a journey. And if you notice, the journey is the Bible. This man is following the path laid out by Scripture. And that path laid out by Scripture leads to Christ. You know, the Jehovah Witnesses, they have a Bible. They call it their New World Translation. The Moonies have their Bible. You name it, all of these aberrant cults have their Bible. They all have their Bible. And in those Bibles, there's always a determined path. The cult leaders tell you, this is the path you have to be on. This is the path you must follow. This is the journey you must take. But if you notice, in all of those cults, none of those paths lead to Christ. They lead to a false god. And those ways are false ways of salvation. We Christians follow Scripture. Scripture always leads you to Jesus. Now, you may be reading a scripture on Samuel, or you may be reading a scripture on David, or you may be reading a scripture on Solomon, or perhaps you're reading from the book of Esther, or, you know, you may be reading about Deborah the judge. But all those people and all of those stories point to the one we've been waiting for, Jesus Christ. All Bible stories are pointing you and I to Jesus. The very same way John the Baptist pointed to Jesus when he saw him. John the Baptist had two disciples come to him, and Jesus was coming, and he pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Are you pointing people to Jesus? Are you yourself heading towards Jesus? So, he that walketh uprightly is a man whose gaze, is a woman whose gaze, whose heart is fixed on following the Lord. He that walketh up. The word upright is a Hebrew noun. One way of translating it would be integrity. Integrity is honesty, moral rectitude, trustworthy. A person of integrity is a person of high character. A person of integrity is a righteous soul, is an individual, is a man, a woman, a young person who has made up their mind to do only that which is right. Remember Joseph when he was just 17 and he was a slave in Potiphar's house, having been sold into slavery, And Potiphar's wife, she got a look at Joseph and she says, I want that good-looking young man. I want to have an affair with that good-looking young man. And she waited for her husband to go away on business. And when she found the opportune time, she tried to ensnare Joseph. She tried to entice him. But he said, no, I can't do that. You read the scriptures. He says, I cannot sin against my God, and I cannot sin against my master. I cannot sin against your husband. You see, Joseph was righteous. Joseph walked uprightly. Joseph had his gaze on God. And so the Bible says, no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. If you have made up your mind to live the life that God would have you to live, let me tell you something. The channels of blessings will always be open. This is why I've never worried in all of my 40 years of ministry, coming up now in April 2023. I was ordained. In fact, I was rummaging through an old photo album looking for some old collectibles that I have on myself, and I came across the picture where I was kneeling to be anointed by the presbytery. I was a young man in 1983, 24 years old, kneeling. My grandmother being present at that service, my grandfather being present at that service, and my family being present at that service. And there I was kneeling before the leaders of the church who were going to anoint me on that Sunday afternoon. It was a Sunday afternoon service. Anoint me for Christian ministry. So I can tell you, from that time, from the time I entered into the ministry till today, there has never, ever, ever, ever been a moment, an episode, a year where God has cut off from me his blessings. And God will never cut off the blessings, the flow, that channel, that pipeline. The blessings are never cut off from those who make up their mind to walk rightly. That's what God does. Are you on that path? Are you following Jesus? Jesus says, if any man, if any woman determines to be my disciple, let them take up their cross and follow me. To take up the cross means that you have crucified your flesh. To take up the cross means that the world is crucified to you. To take up the cross is to say to Satan, the arch enemy of your soul, I follow Christ. Look at me. I'm following him. So when you take up the cross, you battle the flesh, the world, and the devil. That's what it means to walk uprightly, and God will not withhold any good thing, any good thing from them that do what? Have made up their mind to live right. To live right is to live uprightly. You know, Satan leads down. Satan, first of all, you know, I remember when I was a young student, Bible college student, and we were studying the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of soteriology. And the professor wanted to make a point of how the devil will drag you down. For his name, the evil one, means the one who drags you down, the evil one. It says in 1 John 3:10 and through 12, why did Cain do what he do? Because he was of the evil one. The evil one is the one who drags people down. So the professor of the Doctrine of Salvation, soteriology, took us through a drug-infested neighborhood. He took us to a methadone clinic. And his point was to show us what Satan does to people who get on heroin. And here were these poor souls outside of a methadone clinic on methadone. And they were on the floor. And he says, that's the first step. Satan takes you and puts you in the gutter. None of those people, said the professor, was born in the gutter. None of those people, not one of those people, was born out in the street, out where the refuge is, out where people spit, and there's garbage, and there's rubbish. None of these people, said the professor, were born this way. But look at where Satan has them. And then a little further down the methadone clinic, there was a whole row of prostitution. And he said, look at these young ladies. Look at what they're doing. And he says, and they're doing it to get money for drugs. So, again, he took us to a bar that was in that seedy neighborhood. And there again, we saw people wasting away through alcohol. He says that's what Satan does. He first drags you into the gutter. Then from there, you graduate downward. And we said, where's that? The grave. You wind up in the grave, and then from the grave, you go even lower. And we said, where's that? And he said, hell. So first it's the gutter, then the grave, then hell. It's always downward. But you see, when you serve the Lord, when you follow Christ, it's always upward. You're always going from what? Glory to glory. Not from gutter to gutter, but from glory to glory. And then after taking us to all of those different places, and then he said, now remember, this is also part of the doctrine of salvation, that we are to say, by the grace of God, I am where I am. We're not in the gutter, and we're not in the grave, and we're not in hell, only by what? The grace of God. Don't think that you're better than the person on heroin who's going to the methadone clinic. Don't think that you're better than the prostitute. Don't think that you're better than the alcoholic. No. You only are who you are because of God's grace. God's grace has prevented you from being ensnared by the devil, by being brought down to the gutter, being brought down lower to the grave, and then being brought down lower into the pit of hell. It's only by God's grace. So no good thing will God our Father withhold from them who have made up their mind to follow Jesus with everything they've got. Have you made up your mind? I did, long ago. And I do every day. Every day I get up and I recommit myself to serving the Lord his way, not my way, his way. In other words, his way is you got to be all in. You got to be in 110%. His way is you got to be sold out. His way is you got to sacrifice your entire existence. His way is not your will, but his will. His way is the cross, crucifying the flesh, crucifying the world, and crucifying the devil each and every single day. Well, God will bless you beyond, as Paul says, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you could ask or think. You know, there are times when we ask and God says, you asked too little. I was going to do more. And you say, well, Lord, I asked because I thought, I imagined that I can only get this much. And he says, well, you thought too little. Paul says, when you pray, remember that he, God, the one we're following, can do exceeding abundantly above what you could ask or think. He'll blow your mind. Just follow him. It's amazing. God has amazed me. God has amazed me. The way he comes through again and again and again. So, the text reads, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. Is he your sun? Is he your shield? The Lord will give grace and glory. Are you asking him for more grace? Is he changing you from glory to glory? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Holy Spirit just dropped this in my heart. You know, when we think about no good thing, we're thinking about good things. Well, let me take you to Revelation chapter 3. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3 real quick. Only because the Holy Spirit just brought this to my remembrance. And in Revelation chapter 3, this is the message to the church of Laodicea. The church of Laodicea. And this is what, here we have two good things that God doesn't withhold. In verse 19, as many as I love. Does God love me? Absolutely. Does God love you? Absolutely. Well, part of his love package includes these two things. As many as I love, here's the first good thing. He rebukes us. He gives us a stern talking to. Reminds me of my grandmama. When my grandmama used to give me a, she used to sit me down and say, now don't get up from there until you hear what I have to say. And I just sat there with my head down, and she would just pace that kitchen floor, just giving it to me. Boy, those old women knew how to rebuke you. As many as I love, I rebuke. He gives a stern talking to. But then for some of us, we need a chastening. We need a good old-fashioned whooping. You see, those two things are also two good things that he will not withhold. If he loves you, he'll rebuke you. If you're his and you're blood-bought, he'll give you a good old-fashioned whooping. That's the Lord. He will not withhold any good thing. At the time, the rebuke is not welcomed. At the time, the whooping is not welcome. But when we look back, we say to ourselves, thank God for the rebuke. Thank God for the whooping, because it straightened me out. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Well, Looking forward to seeing you all tomorrow in church as we celebrate the life of our beloved and dear sister, Caroline Hayes. You know, last Sunday, Sister Linda Hart had informed me. She says, "Pastor, I got a call from Sister Caroline's daughter requesting a visit. They need a visit, Pastor." And I remember the deacons preparing communion, and I went over right after the service, and so there we were. There we were. We were praying. We prayed. We read scripture. We gave her communion. And today she's in glory. God gives grace, and then he gives glory. There she is. She's in glory today. So tomorrow we celebrate the fact that she has transitioned, that she has gone home to be with her Savior. Join us tomorrow at 11 a.m. God bless you all. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
God, with his crystal type forever.